Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They're going. Tagovailoa all day to throw. Crossing route, Najee Harris inside the 30, broke a tackle. A hurdle and the sideline and a touchdown. What a catch and run by the guy we just talked about. 42 yards for Najee Harris.
This is BetQL Daily, presented by FanDuel with the Joes, Joe Ostrowski and Joe Giglio from BetQL.
Welcome back. It is BetQL Daily, presented by FanDuel, right here on the BetQL Network. Joe O, Joe G with you. We got a lot of football to talk about as this show moves along. We'll look at the AFC South, the underdogs, this division coming up in a few minutes, break down the Steelers and Bengals. But yes, we're calling the Steelers an underdog in this division. They won it last year. Let's ask our guests about this. Andrew Filippone joins us, 93.7 The Fan of Pittsburgh, and also on CBS Sports Radio. Andrew, Joe and I both are down on this Steelers team heading into training camp in this year compared to where they were last year. What is the feeling in Pittsburgh right now on the 2021 Steelers?
Well, I think a lot of fans are delusional. You guys are smart. That's why you're on the BetQL Daily show. That's why they're paying you guys to handicap games and, you know, look at the big picture of things with not just the Steelers, but the entire NFL. You guys are right. I mean, the team's not good. They've got a 39-year-old quarterback who's shot, who can't really play anymore. They've got all their eggs in his basket. Their offensive line is putrid. It's probably the worst in the entire AFC. So I don't know how that helps bring out the best in your first-round pick running back. So I think that they're a much better bet to finish in last place than first place this year.
Yeah, we're all on the same page, all three of us saying under 8.5 wins. Much of the betting world is on the under as well. But Pony, what's the case to be made for the over for Pittsburgh getting to 9 victories?
Somebody like Baker Mayfield or Lamar Jackson or maybe both get injured like Carson Wentz. And because of that, the Steelers have basically a lark. They've got just a walk in the park to win the AFC North because they've got a really good defense that's playing against backup quarterbacks. I mean, short of that, I don't really see how they do it. I think that the winning total, the number of wins from the team that wins the AFC North will probably be in the 10 to 11 neighborhood. The Steelers and Ravens have the two toughest schedules in the NFL. This division is not going to put three teams into the playoffs again. So they've got to recapture the formula that they had back in 2019 when they went 8-8 and Roethlisberger was out with that elbow injury because Roethlisberger can't get it done like an elite quarterback anymore. So they're going to have to manage games and try to win with defense. And I have that's going to take basically the AFC North looking like last year's NFC East for them to make the playoffs and for them to win the division this year, because I don't see with their schedule and with their offensive weaknesses. I don't see them winning more than 9 games max this year.
Andrew, is there a plan post Ben Roethlisberger? We've been kind of talking about this for years on what it's going to be, where they're going to go. I know Dwayne Haskins in the building now. I don't think that's going to work. But what do you think the plan is, if there is one, post Ben Roethlisberger, probably looking towards next season?
Well, I don't know why you're so down on Haskins. Why are you writing the guy off? Because he threw a party with his girlfriend with a bunch of strippers there after they got their ass kicked last December? I mean, the guy's made terrible decisions off the field, it sounds like. And I don't think he took his job all that seriously in Washington, but he was still good enough to be a top 15 pick. Just about every talent evaluator and scout had the same thought on him coming out of Ohio State, because he only started for 1 year. He was a very raw prospect and definitely needed the Patrick Mahomes model. He needed to sit and wait if he was ever going to succeed as an NFL quarterback. And because he's a Washington guy and Dan Snyder pretty much made the pick, went over everybody's heads and selected him, I think he got rushed onto the field. And I think this coaching staff and this front office regime in Washington, they had absolutely no loyalty to Dwayne Haskins. So the same thing happened to Brett Favre in Atlanta, where they gave up on him after 1 year, and the rest is history as far as his career was concerned. I actually think if the Steelers play it smart and do the right thing and keep Haskins on the roster, make him the backup, make sure he gets reps during the week, during the season, make sure he keeps his head in the playbook and make sure that he shows up on time and takes his job seriously, I actually think there is a shot for him to be their next franchise quarterback. And the key to that whole thing will be that if you can get competent play out of Haskins, you won't spend a lot of money on him. And with the cap going up, the Steelers have the second most cap space in the NFL for 2022. You can build a great team around a young quarterback like that. So I'm either hoping that happens, boys, or I want them, what I really want them to do is get in on the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes after this year. That's what I really want, is for Aaron Rodgers to be the Steelers' next quarterback.
All right, we're all on Steelers under 8.5. So if the Steelers are in last place, that means the Bengals likely go over 6.5. What do you like about what's going on in Cincinnati?
Well, I like their quarterback a lot, Joe. I mean, I know he's coming off the knee injury. I think they probably should have taken the offensive lineman out of Oregon ahead of his friend from LSU. I think if Joe Burrow had played his college football at any other school, I don't think they would have taken Chase with that pick. That's just my opinion. I do think that they did make improvements to their offensive line, which were necessary. They got Jonah Williams coming back. You've got Reef now at the other tackle spot. You picked the Carmen kid from Clemson in the second round. He'll probably slot right in at guard. They've got incredible weapons. And they've got a really good safety in Bates on the back end of things, who's going to need to clean it up because their front seven's so bad. Although maybe Geno Atkins can find the fountain of youth here, even though I wouldn't bet on that. So I think the Bengals, the thing that's appealing and attractive to me about them is that I don't think it'll be that hard, or I don't think it's that much of a stretch, that they'll have the best quarterback in the division this year. And so, sure, there are times like last year where the Texans had Deshaun Watson, who was the best player in the AFC South, and they still only went 4-12. But I would say for the most part, if you have the best quarterback in your division, you at least have a puncher's shot to win it. And that's why I have a bunch of futures out on the Bengals. I think I got them back in April at like 23-1 to win the AFC North. It's a long shot, but I think they actually have a chance because they've got the easiest schedule. And I think by the end of the year, they'll have the division's best quarterback.
Yeah, it's a good number. They're 17-1 right now. Andrew Filippone joining us around Pittsburgh, 93.7 The Fan, and also CBS Sports Radio. Listen to BetQL Daily presented by FanDuel on the BetQL Network. Andrew, one of three divisions in the NFL where you can get plus money on any team. We know the Ravens and the Browns are the favorites. We talked about the Steelers here. Plus 120 on the Ravens, plus 160 right now on FanDuel on the Browns. How would you handicap the top of this division, Ravens or Browns?
I think they got it flipped. I love the guys at FanDuel. My buddy John Sheeran's the head odds maker there, but you know, he's from Scotland, so sometimes he gets confused between rugby and football and screws up the line a little bit. He got this one wrong. The Browns are the favorites. As hard as it might be in Pittsburgh to confess to that or admit to that, it's just the truth. They've got the best roster on paper from top to bottom. Their offensive line is the best in the NFL. They figured out with Stefanski last year because they didn't have a glorified tight ends coach, a total boob in Freddie Kitchens as their head coach anymore. They figured out how to play good, clean offensive football. You don't put too much on Baker's plate. Now, I do think there are a couple of ticking time bombs there, though, boys. You know, the thing that would get the Ravens back into the division race for me is if Cleveland overreacts to a bad start. Because if you look at their schedule, there is a very good chance they start the season 2-3. And I know that's not, you know, you still have 12 games ahead of you. You still got 3 months of football. But given the microscope and the magnifying glass that's going to be on that team, plus you've got Odell coming back, if they get off to a subpar start, and I think they will based on the schedule, they open with Kansas City, everybody knows that. And then they've got two winnable games, and they go on the road twice, I think, for Minnesota and the Chargers. I believe they'll lose both those games. At 2-3, we'll see if a little bit of locker room, we got to shift the offense and make it more about me, and if the egos get involved there and how Stefanski handles that, because I'm a big believer that it was addition by subtraction when Odell Beckham Jr. went out last year that they were able to get back to basics and run the football. We'll see if that remains the case. But when you think about the Clowney addition, Garrett playing a full season, the additions they've made in the secondary with the Johnson signing from the Rams, who's a very underrated player, yeah, I think the Browns are the best bet to win 11 or 12 games in that division. But like I said, we'll see how they react to what I think will be a very slow start.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pony, how about some other NFL futures, win total bets that you like outside of the AFC North?
Yeah, I've done a lot of digging on this, guys. You know, I got the Packers in the Saturday before the Rodgers news came on FanDuel. They were only at 8.5, so I jumped all over that over. You know, that seems like a rocking chair bet. I'd be shocked if they don't win 9 games. Rodgers got hurt or something went terribly wrong there, so I'm all over that. You know, I've really liked the Houston over lately because the more and more people I've talked to, it sounds like Watson's not going to maybe get suspended until next year. And so if they can't find a trade, I don't think he'll just sit out. I think they'll win in that division now if he plays, even with the makeshift roster kind of patchwork team that they have. I think they'll win 5 games, no problem. I'm bullish on, and I know I hate to do this, I hate to get wrapped up in what are like the sexy, trendy teams. I hate to kind of go with the popular consensus picks. But I do think the Rams will go over. I think the Dolphins will go over too. I like both of those teams. And I'm trying to also weigh the pros and cons of the Chargers bet too. Because, you know, FanDuel, they did such a good job. Sheeran nailed it on this. They set the number high enough where the people that believe in Herbert and, again, that second-year quarterback thing where he's going to be even better. But there's always with the Chargers that they always get hit by the injury bug. They always lose games that they should win. You know, I'm still so scarred by the Phillip Rivers era and some of the things Anthony Lynn did where I'm probably holding that against them too much. But on paper, with Derwin James coming back and Bosa healthy, Eckler in the fold, I think that the Chargers, even in the Chiefs division with their schedule, should win at least 10 games.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir. We're all in on the Chargers. I love Staley, too. I think that he's going to be a good coach for them. You mentioned Tua, though. Obviously, you mentioned Miami, which got my brain going to Tua. Are you a believer in Tua? I didn't see it last year. I didn't see a quarterback that could win at a high level in the NFL. You mentioned over on Miami. Are you high on Tua?
Well, you weren't supposed to be high on him last year, Joe. I think Miami did him a disservice. I think they made him, they exposed him last year. What I didn't get about the whole way that situation was handled by Flores was, you know, the whole world's telling you that he had this hip injury. Everybody's comparing it to Bo Jackson, but because we've made advancements in, you know, sports surgery and all that kind of stuff, all right, you know, he's going to be able to recover from this, unlike Bo. So you've got a situation there. where, you know, he's going to not be 100%. He's not going to trust himself. He's not going to have the confidence that he did pre-injury. And you've already got a quarterback there in Ryan Fitzpatrick who can be a very capable stopgap and placeholder. So the thing that I don't get about Tua is he didn't play. He was definitely still recovering from that injury, didn't play well, still had a winning record, still had more touchdowns than interceptions. If he had not played at all last year and they had just let Ryan Fitzpatrick run the show and now Tua was going in and it was starting clean and fresh this year, I think people would be much higher on the Dolphins. I'm not going to hold against him what should have been, in my opinion, a redshirt year. I don't think he should have played last year. So for that reason, that's my bet. I mean, I thought 2 years ago he was the best player in college football, even better than Trevor Lawrence, or very, very close to that. So that's my take on him. That I think a lot of people are scarred and a lot of people are traumatized by what Tua did in a year where he was clearly compromised and not himself.
Pody, in college football, Sheeran put Pitt at 7 wins. 7 wins juiced to the over. Is there a bet to make there?
Oh, man. Yeah, well, you know, the Pitt's in this vicious cycle, guys, where they go 7-5 or 6-6 every year. So they haven't been able to break out of that rut. They've had at least 3 losses every year since 1981, since Marino was on campus. The last time they finished the season ranked in the top 10 was in 1982. So they've been a slightly above average college football program for a very, very, very long time, for decades now, for two entire generations. But the thing is about them this year is that they bring back senior quarterback Kenny Pickett, who's a gamer. He's not going to wow you with his arm strength or anything like that, but he's got a great, great moxie about him. Guy that really goes all out to win. Will puck the ball and run it if he has to. And they have, in my opinion, among the Power Five schools, the easiest road schedule in the entire country. They don't play outside of maybe Virginia Tech on the road, a team that was not very good last year, I think went 5-6. They don't play a tough game away from Heinz Field. They go to Tennessee. That's obviously Josh Heupel going there from UCF. That team's not, you know, they're completely in rebuild mode again. Tennessee, they open with UMass. They play a bunch of MAC schools. I mean, they're a team to me that, given their schedule and the veteran quarterback they have coming back, they should start 5-0, and they should win 3 of their final, what would be at that point, 7 games to get you to that number of 8.
Great stuff. Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan and CBS Sports. Steelers in last place. We'll break that down next. BetQL Daily, presented by FanDuel on the BetQL Network.